that's a rock of foundation that we stand upon, that Jesus saves. He's still in the soul-saving business. Would you take your hymn books and let's sing page 408. 408. How firm a foundation. Let's stand together as we sing it. Ye saints of the Lord. 408.
How firm a foundation.
My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only designed thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Amen. What a great God we serve. We're going to slow down this last verse. Think about what you're singing. Think about it. Let it touch your heart. Here we go. The soul that on Jesus.
The soul that on Jesus has paid for. I will not be turned to its foe.
You knew that well enough just to throw your head back and sing that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never forsake. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Wow. Read an article this week. I think Becky sent me this article about somewhere the church forgot how to sing. And we've become a church that's like culture, that they listen to music, but they don't sing. They walk around with earbuds in their ears, but they don't sing. It's like they listen to somebody else's song, but they don't have a song. And it's true in much of congregational singing. And boy, I like to be in a place where I can let her rip.
Amen.
And, you know, it's where people, whenever you're singing and singing from your heart, they don't turn around and look and say, who is doing that? Now, sometimes there's people like that, you know, that I've been near some people who, whenever they started singing, I kind of turned and looked. But I enjoy hearing it. There's nothing quite like congregational singing. I like the choir. I love the special music. I love the instruments. I love it all. But there's something unique about congregational singing. When God's people lift their voices, it's a marvelous thing. Well, it's good to see you here tonight. This is a very special evening, and it begins right now. So I'm going to let you be seated. And this afternoon, upon your authority of a couple of weeks ago, I convened an ordination council. We call it the presbytery, And that's a very formal kind of old word that is used for that kind of group that gathers together for examination and for observation. Now, some things happen in ordination. We observe them, and we listen, and we have given to us the testimonies and so forth, and we have done that today, and we have questioned that candidate, and we have the results of that. I served as moderator of the council today, and Dr. Jim Lyle, misspelled your name just a little bit there, but it's not a bad name to you to use. It's a good name. Jim Lyons, a good man. But Jim Lyles was the clerk of the council, and of course we've done our duty and disbanded the council. But I still serve as the moderator and him as the clerk, and so I'm going to ask you to come and give to the church the results of our meeting this afternoon.
Yes, sir. The council was formed, as he said, this afternoon, 1:30, and there was an extensive questioning, and it lasted to about 10 after 3, and it was unanimous that we would ordain Brother Charles Prescott to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So say the clerk, Jim Lyle.
Thank you so much, Brother Jim. I appreciate that. And so you have the recommendation of the council to this church that the church ordain Brother Prescott. And so I am open now for a motion to get the business before the church, to follow the recommendation of the council this afternoon, and to proceed with the ordination of Dr. Charles Prescott. Is there a motion to that effect? Okay, who would that be? Who is that? Okay, Patrick Justice. Now, you need to do business. You need to take care of business. Whenever it comes to things like this, you need to take care of business, or I'll declare the thing dying for lack of a second, and we'll cancel it right now. But we have a motion on the floor that we proceed with the ordination. Brother Prescott, is there a second to that motion? Okay, I got a very quick second. Thank you very much. Is there any question about that? Is there any question about that at all? I would say this, and the others on the council that are here today, all are here but two, and Daniel Cox is at his church where he pastors, and Judson Douglas is at his church where he pastors, and so they're back in their places this evening, but their vote was for ordination. We examined him regarding his personal life and asked him questions of his personal life from the Word of God, if there was anything in the Word of God in the qualifications, without telling us. He didn't have to tell us what it was, but is there anything that disqualifies you from this position? And we have that assurance that there is not. Then we ask doctrinal questions, very general and very specific doctrinal questions. Then we ask him some very personal things about who his favorite preacher is. And, of course, he said me, because I had a vote on the council. But I think that we accepted what he said as his favorite preacher is a man who's already in heaven, Dr. Lee Robertson. And we understand that. And we didn't ask him what his favorite color was, but favorite book of the Bible is life verse and so forth like that. A lot of things, just personal things about that. And having examined him fully, we feel that it is fitting and proper. You have the recommendation of the council, and we have a move to accept that recommendation and a second to that motion. And there being no further questions, if you're in favor of that, would you let it be known by saying aye?
Aye.
Is there any opposition? And so we will proceed with the ordination. And so as we come to this time, to proceed with this thing of the ordination of Dr. Charles Prescott. It's very unusual. I say some unusual things while Brother Westbrook comes to the platform. Not often on an ordination council do you have 5 members out of 8. 5 out of 8 are younger than the candidate. Not often does that happen. And so the younger men were very pleased, I think, to be seated in on the council, as were those of us who are older men. And we're thankful for the privilege of doing that. So we begin now. And we're going to ask Brother Conrad Westbrook, who is ordained minister and served on the council today, to open these procedures in prayer.
Our Father, we're very, very grateful for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the honor of taking part in the events of this day, this ordination service for Brother Charles Prescott. Lord, I thank you for his life. I thank you for his many years of service unto you, his faithful, obedient service. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, even at this time, he's seeking greater opportunities to serve you. And Lord, as we move forward with this ordination, understanding, God, that we are simply recognizing what you've already done in his life. And we thank you for the call you've placed upon his life. I thank you for his answer to that call. Lord, I pray that this night will be a very, very special time in his life. I pray that it'll be something that he'll remember always, that it will encourage him, but may encourage each one of us as well as we listen and take part in the things that will go on tonight. Father, I pray you'll put your hand upon him and use him in even greater ways in the days to come. That maybe, Lord, even from tonight, there'll be a new power through his work that, Father, you would just bless in incredible ways. So, Lord, keep your hand upon him and his family. Continue to bless them, meet every need. And, Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. Now, bless this time, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we got to find out some things in the ordination council, and one of those things was we got to find out Brother Prescott's favorite song. So why don't you join with us and sing page 574, A Child of the King. Brother Prescott's favorite song. Let's stand together as we sing it. My father is rich in houses and land. Sing it now.
My father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is reigning forever on high, and will give me a home in heaven by and by. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With me, my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
I once was an outcast.
I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of
a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. We would have Brother Charles come and sing that verse. He's been sick, so he gets a pass. But he's going to listen as we all sing the last verse. Here we go now.
A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may seek all glory to God. I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
Same thought in mind. Let's sing, oh yes. Okay, I got the wrong key. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. How many of you say, I know that reasonably well? Reasonably well, I know that. Anybody? Do you know that a little bit? Here's what I want you to do. Help those around you. Help those around you. And do it like this. Oh, yes. Now, if you want to do that, it's okay also. All right? Okay? But let's sing it. Throw your head back and sing it, all right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing.
like to, we'll give you a chance to do a little better in just a moment. Choir's going to come down and be with you. Fellowship a little bit with one another. Give them a chance to get down, and then we'll have the ushers ready to receive our offering tonight. Come forward, if you will, please, and we'll receive our offering tonight. I tell you what we're going to do tonight. Anything that's not a regular offering, anything that's not obviously your tithe, anything that's obviously not that, all the loose offering tonight, we're going to give it to Dr. and Mrs. Prescott. We're just going to do that. You say, wow, are they having trouble? No, they're not having any trouble. We just need to do something for them. And I think that'll be a good thing, a good thing. The only other ordination we've had here has been our son, Adam. Adam was ordained here in that building over there next door. And I would have done that then if it hadn't been my son. But I felt a little awkward doing that for my son. But you're not my son. All right. But I appreciate you. And so we'll do that tonight. And I'm sorry, I don't have anything to give. Okay. Now, I know he won't let me forget how much I owe him. All right. You got anything now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, do you? Okay. I don't want to take what blessing away from you. Okay. All right. Lord, thank you for tonight. And I pray what we do will just say to the Prescotts, we love you, we appreciate you, and we're thankful for what God's doing in your life. Lord, I ask you to bless them in a very real way, and make this what we give tonight something that says that to them, that we appreciate them, and we're praying for God to use them in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that beautiful music. I've been appointed with the great privilege of delivering the charge to the candidate. Brother Prescott, I'm 8 years your junior, and I look up to you and I thank God for the impact and influence and example that you've set for me in these years that we've been here. Even before we came, when I would visit here, I remember standing out there in the mall area and talking on the stairs and steps and things and about all that we had in common. But today, I stand as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, the last verse, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." This was a charge that was given directly to young Timothy. The Apostle Paul was about to finish his ministry here on earth. He says the time of his departure is at hand. None of us know when the time of our departure is, so we must live every day as if it's the last that we have to offer our Savior. And this, of course, is a monumental day for you. And we rejoice to be here with you today. Just a few thoughts on this passage that God gives to us here tonight. Preach the word. The Bible says it's the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. The cross of Jesus Christ. Lift up your voice as a trumpet. Be confident. Stand firm, as the songs that we sang. How firm a foundation. You know this is the truth. You know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So preach the word. Don't you just hate it when someone's mamby-pamby? You know, just wishy-washy. You don't know if they even believe what they're saying. My friend, I'm glad to tell you that we stand upon the rock that will not move. Preach the word. A lot of people talk about the word, and they preach around the word. But the Bible says to preach the word of God, and there's lots of it here to preach. Amen. It's a wellspring that will never run dry. Preach the word. Be instant. Be prepared, be ready, be on call, in season, out of season. A minister of the gospel, much like a medical doctor of old. I don't know if there's so much that way these days. But as a medical doctor of old, you might say that 2:00 in the morning, they get a phone call. There's a need, there's a spiritual burden, there's something, someone wants to get saved, someone knocks on your door like they did. Anyway, that's another thing. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So make the opportunities count. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Let's see, you have three children. I imagine that you were very personally involved as they were learning to drive a car. Were you personally involved? Okay. I would like everyone to imagine those days of trying to teach one of your children to drive. And with these three words, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. You're sitting in the passenger seat, and you have no brake pedal. You have no steering wheel. All you have is your directives and your commands. Reprove. Reprove. That says, get your eye back on the road. You know, they're talking to you. Get your eye on the road. Okay? That's reprove. Don't be afraid to step on toes. It's for their good. Amen? It's for our good to receive God's truth. So don't be ashamed to reprove and to correct something that's wrong. And then don't be afraid, as a minister of the gospel of Christ, as an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd of our souls, if necessary, the Bible says to rebuke. Rebuke. Rebuke might be more of that
young person driving the car, and they reached down to change the channels on the radio. And you say, stop it! Don't do that. Not when you're driving. You're not ready for that. Stop it. That's a rebuke. Okay? Reprove. Rebuke. And then you exhort. You exhort. You teach them with great motivation, with purpose. You exhort them. And you tell them, you might say, if you look down for 2 seconds, there could be someone pull out, and you're exhorting them. You're exhorting them. You say, that's why you don't, that's why I jumped your case. That's why I rebuked you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. This is why. Because the Bible says so. The Bible goes on to say many things I won't take time to go into here, but the last verse says, but watch thou in all things, be alert. An under-shepherd has responsibility for the flock and has to watch out for danger amongst the church. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Why? Because you're the tip of the spear. And because Satan knows that if he can get you to trip, if he can get you to quit, if he can get you discouraged, he's going to affect so many people that are watching your life. Endure afflictions. They're coming. They're going to increase with great blessings and great power of God and the outpouring of God's Spirit upon you. You're going to stir up some attention down below. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. There's no greater joy, is it not? There's no greater joy than in a hospital, than when you go near the birthing center and you go near the nursery. There's great joy. Listen, folks, when you see someone come to know Christ, if you have the privilege of being there and pointing them to the Lord Jesus, I remember pastor saying that it took him aback as he was given the invitation a few weeks ago. And he heard literally scores of people praying out loud to receive Jesus Christ. There's no greater joy than that. So that will charge your batteries as you obey God's word. Do the work of an evangelist. If you get discouraged, find someone to give the gospel to. It'll encourage your heart. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, reach the potential that God has planned for your life. You don't know what God has in store for you 2 years from now. You don't know where you'll be. You don't know what you'll be doing 10 years from now. And God is probably holding that back from a lot of us because we would think if he revealed to us what we're doing 5 years from now, we'd say, oh no, not me, Lord. So he leads us one step at a time, one day at a time. But as you walk with him, make sure that you understand that God has given in your heart and in your life a purpose for your existence. And now you have a little clearer focus on your purpose and what God has for you. And you have the endorsement of God's people saying, go for it. Don't quit. The full potential. Make full proof of your ministry. These thoughts can kind of be summarized in this song that we're about to hear. Hope and Melody are going to sing a duet. My life, Lord, is yours to control.
My whole heart I humbly seek you. Now use my life, O Lord, I pray. I yield my stubborn will completely. May your commandments light my way. My life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your run and not to faint. My life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your will, never mind this treasure to find. Give wisdom to choices I make along every path that I take. So when I complete life's grace, well done, you will choices I make along every path that I take. So when I complete life's race, well done, you will say. Well done, you will say. Well done, you will say.
Amen. Well, what a wonderful song for this time that we come to tonight. And this is called the ordination sermon. And of course, whenever it comes to the charge to the candidate and the ordination sermon, we all fight over who gets to have the passage that Mark got tonight. And so tonight I call your attention to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read. I just simply have to break into this somewhere. So I'm going to break in at verse 25 and read to the end of the chapter. Ordination such as this is the setting apart of a preacher with credentials and recommendation of a local church to preach the Word of God. Now, other groups may define it a little differently, and there may be somewhat change in semantics and words that are used in the way that it's done, but that's who we are here. We have observed this man's life. We have examined him and brought him to this point of ordination, which formalizes that process. Ordination has something to do with order. Even by definition, it has something to do with order. It has something to do with God's order. Though God has left a lot of this order of the way it's done within the hands of the church. And God leads in that, and they follow the Lord's will in that. But God ordains things. God ordains things. God ordains plans. God ordains people. And we function in that way tonight as a church. This is not just the council. The council was authorized by this church. We're not operating as a pastor or as a staff on our own in this. We have, as a church, voted to proceed with that. So it is under the authority of this church that we proceed with that. Verse 25, Colossians chapter 1. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I give you a single thought from each of these verses. In verse 25, it says, you are God's representative to others. Whereof I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. So the preacher is given the things of God to give to others. It's interesting how many things we see in the Word of God, it seems that God could have done or had angels do, but He didn't. He had His people do them. Whenever Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, whenever he was stopped on the road to Damascus, the light shining from heaven, and he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord introduced himself. I'm Jesus. Now, he said, I want you to go into Damascus. And there's a man in Damascus. There's a preacher in Damascus. His name is Ananias. And I want you to find him. He's down on the way called Straight. The way called Straight. And I'm sure that was a street in Damascus. I read the address of a church last night. It was number 11 Easy Street. I thought, boy, that's a good place to have a church. Have a church on Easy Street. But there was a way called Straight. And he said to Saul, you go down there and you see Ananias and he'll tell you what you need to do. Isn't that interesting? Why didn't God tell him? I mean, God sure had his attention. Why didn't he tell him? He was showing him the authority of the church and of the minister in the church. So, we are to fulfill our ministry by giving to others of that which God has given to us. He says, the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. This is Paul writing to the Colossians, the church at Colossae, and he's saying, God gave me this for you. And so what we have, we don't store up for ourselves, and the application is certainly true of all of us. What we have, God has given us for others, and that is to fulfill the Word of God. So there's again that passage in 2 Timothy that Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word. Fulfill. Fill full. Make full proof of the Word of God. Now, in verse 26, it says you are entrusted. You are entrusted with a great revelation. A mystery that is made manifest. Something that has been hidden is now revealed. Something that was not clear and understandable is now clear and understandable. And he says, I have given you that. The mystery which hath been hid, it was hidden from ages and from generations, but is made manifest to his saints. Now, how's that done? That's done by what he gave to Paul to give to them. Paul says to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 3, he said, manifesting this through preaching, which is committed to me. That which is committed to me, I make manifest through preaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, he says to Timothy, that good thing which is committed to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 20, it says, keep that which is committed to you. Keep that which is committed. In a little while, you're going to sit here at the front. And there's going to be some men come by and lay their hands on you. And they're going to pray for you and give you a little word in your ear of exhortation. Now, we won't reprove or rebuke. We'll give you a little word of exhortation, a little encouragement. And laying hands on you, we will pray for you. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, I don't understand how that works. I know the experience in my life. I can hardly say this without being emotional. Now, I remember Dr. Lee Robertson coming by and laying his hands on my head. I remember J.R. Faulkner coming by and whispering in my ear, laying his hands on my head. But the hands I can almost feel right now are my daddy's hands. It's not anything mystic. It's not anything magical or anything like that. It's just simply an order from God that God has given. This is a mystery that's revealed, and we're to make it known to others. Verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. To make known this ministry. Your work is to make known this truth that is revealed of Christ in you. And I'm going to challenge you in this sermon. Don't ever get far from the cross. Don't ever get far from the call. And don't ever lose the consciousness of the presence of the indwelling Christ. Verse 28. Whom we preach. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Who would that be? That's preach Christ. Well, we've looked already at preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. Sometimes that's hard, that longsuffering and doctrine gets to be a little hard. But he says we preach Christ. And here's what we do in preaching Christ. There's two aspects of this that are given here. Warning every man and teaching every man. Warning everyone and teaching everyone. Sometimes people give a warning without giving an explanation of how to avoid that you are warning others about. So you give a warning. You preach Christ, warning every man. And you warn concerning the judgment of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, our responsibilities to God. That's appropriate. That's fitting. It's not just a matter of tickling itching ears. Some places you go and some things you hear and some things you read, it's good God, good devil, everybody's good. And, you know, everybody, all religions in the world are about the same and we just express it a little differently and all that kind of thing. No, not true. That's not true at all. We warn on the basis of this book what God says. You must not be weak on that. We talked about that. Now, we do that with long suffering, but you must not be weak on that, much less deny it. Of course, we would say don't deny it, but don't be weak on that. Don't be embarrassed by truth. And then teaching. Whenever you warn somebody about something, you teach them. If I warn somebody that if you do this, this is going to happen, then I need to teach them how to avoid that which I'm warning about. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Now, that's a pretty heavy statement there that you've got to have all wisdom. I don't know of any other way to get that than to get it from the one who gives it. The one who gives wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Ask of God. Now, it doesn't say just any preacher. Now, we're talking to a preacher tonight. But it doesn't say if any preacher lacks wisdom. Now, of course, preachers are included because preachers need wisdom. But everybody needs wisdom. If you lack wisdom, I just don't know what to do. Well, ask. Ask. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. What does he give? He gives wisdom. He gives what you ask for. He gives what he tells you to ask for. Ask for wisdom. He gives it, and he gives it liberally. He doesn't, and he upbraideth not. He doesn't say, are you back in here asking for more wisdom? I should have thought that you'd have enough of that by now. Aren't you done asking? No, he does not upbraid you for that. He does not rebuke you for that. Not at all. With the end in view, here in this verse, with the end in view that we may present those to whom we minister before his presence perfect in Christ Jesus. Magnificent statement. I know of no other way to fulfill that statement than by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a very humbling thing. Verse 29. Whereunto? Or unto this purpose. Unto this purpose I also labor. Now the word that's used here for labor and the next word striving are things that require effort. It's not something you get by sitting still and coasting. Labor, striving, you work at that thing. Look what it says. Striving according to His working. We strive, we labor, we strive according to the Lord's working. Now, that means working the way He worked. One time in the New Testament record, in the Gospel, we find Jesus asleep. And that was in the storm, whenever He was in the back of the boat, asleep. That's the only time it's recorded that He slept. I'm sure there had to be other times. But I wonder if our Lord, simply because of His nature, because of who He was, and I understand the humanity of the Lord and the deity of Christ. I understand both of those. But it seems like when the disciples were at rest, He was at prayer. And He was going all the time. Going all the time. It is said of Dwight L. Moody that he was out of breath in pursuit of souls. He was out of breath in pursuit of souls. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working. I work the way He worked. I work with the purpose for which He worked. I work on the things that He worked on. I work in the way He worked, and then He doesn't just assign us the task and throw us out there and say, go do it. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. I labor and I strive according to His working. His working which worketh in me mightily. That's the sermon. That's the sermon for your ordination. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29. And I challenge you to make full proof of your ministry. And as was said this afternoon, I believe Brother Westbrook said this afternoon, finish well. Finish well. Whenever you come to that point, be able to say, fought a good fight. Now, Brother Charles, I want you to know, whenever Paul said, I fought a good fight, he didn't say, I'm a good fighter. He said, I've been in a good one. I've been in a good fight. The fight that I've been in is a good fight. Now, we know it's a spiritual fight. It's the same that striving, laboring, striving, working, working according to His working, which worketh in us mightily. So I challenge you, stay at it. Stay at it. Stay faithfully at it. And Charlene, I must say to you tonight that I'm thankful for you. And some of our people know you and some of our people do not. But I thank God for this young lady. Young lady. Boy, it's been a long time since somebody's called you that, hasn't it? Says something about my age, doesn't it? But let's, if you will, let's put these chairs out here. We come to a very unique time in this. And I'm going to ask the two of you if you'll come here and take your seats here in this place. I'm going to ask those who served on the council today if you will come and join me here. And I'm going to ask if there are any other ordained deacons or ordained preachers that are here who would like to come and who would like to stand here with us as an endorsement of Brother Prescott. I invite you to come at this time. If you'd like to do that, you may feel free to. Anyone else? Just Brother George, Don, okay. Any others? Okay. Very good, Tom. I want to ask Dr. Hodges to offer the ordination prayer. And as we pray here, I want you to pray for these two. And not just tonight, and not just right now, but in the future. Everything's good and everything's glorious right now. Won't always be that way. Hasn't always been that way. One thing it says in the book, come right on over, Brother Elliot. One thing it says in 1 Timothy, Chapter 2, about the man who is to serve in this office. He's not to be a novice. And this man is not a novice. And I'm thankful for that. Now, you may not be able to see them when we pray, but I'm going to ask the men together around here, and we will lay our hands on Brother Charles, and then we'll come by one at a time if you'd like to come on in here. And Brother Hodges, get up to the microphone right here if you will. And come right on in. Pray for us if you will.
Our Father, we've come to this awesome time to do what you've commanded us to do. As a church, and as your men forming this council, this presbytery, to lay hands on this man, the one you have called, to declare your truths to your people, to become that under-shepherd of the flock. And Father, what an awesome thing it has been to understand that you require us to listen to him, because he's going to have to account for every soul that he watches over. We'll have to give an account. So we do pray for him tonight in reception of this awesome responsibility, because one day he's going to present those souls to our Savior, who is our Lord. We thank you, Father, for each of these men. We thank you for this church that is in obedience to your command to do these things. And we pray that we will work together to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We have now something very special, and I want to ask Brother Charles if you'll stand right here, and Aaron, you come if you will.
It's a privilege to be the one making this presentation. You're a man senior to me, not only in years, but in wisdom, experience, and most certainly even your knowledge of the Bible. However, though you are my senior in so many ways, you're my brother in this way, that we carry the great sword together into battle. And I am honored to be the one presenting this to you upon your ordination. There are many books, many good books. There are even some great books. But all books shrivel in the light of this book, God's book. There is no other like it, given to us by the very breath of God. Men of old wondered that they would hear the voice of God and still live. Yet we have it captured and printed, the breath of Almighty God preserved for us. May we regard it as they did. The Bible is unique in many ways, one of which is its comments about itself. One such is when it refers to itself as the sword of the Spirit. This book is the weapon of the Spirit. We as ministers and believers are exhorted to be filled with the Spirit in order that the power of God might work through us unhindered. But this book contains no such contaminants as you and I are prone to. It doesn't have those battles. It is pure. It is pure, powerful. It's penetrating. There is complete confidence that when this book is preached and given, that the Spirit of the Lord is at liberty to do the work of exalting the Son of God.
Yes.
The weapon of the Word is a mighty, terrible weapon. In its pages it holds the truths of life unto Christ and death unto self. It wields justice and judgment. It's the source of truth. It defines origin, it mandates purpose, and it illuminates us to meaning. It is the Word of God given by the Spirit of God to do the work of God in exalting the very Son of God. For years you have searched this book and studied it, but now more than ever you will be defined by it. It will be the chief tool of your trade. A doctor has his equipment. A banker has his. A builder, a farmer, a salesman, a lawyer. Each masters the tools of his own trade. But you have not been called to master this tool of your trade. You have been called to be mastered by this tool of your trade. Plant the seeds deep in your soul. Be consumed with it and be consumed by it. Let the Holy Ghost of God nourish those seeds to maturity as it flows from you to the people under your care as a minister of the gospel. I do not present you with a book you've never owned nor read, but I do present you with a burden you have not previously been ordained to bear, to carry and communicate the Word of God with integrity, to be faithful to live by its truth, being both the subject and the agent of its life-changing power. And so it is, on this occasion of your ordination, that I present to you, for your work of the gospel ministry, God's book, the book.
Amen. And so, I have in my hand now, as representative of the council of men here, Dr. James Lyle, Dr. W. E. Hodges, Pastor Daniel Cox, Pastor Judson Douglas, Reverend Conrad Westbrook, Reverend J. Mark Sears, and Reverend Aaron Reynolds, the certificate of ordination. We, the undersigned, upon the recommendation and request of the Temple Baptist Church at Powell, Tennessee, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging the God-given gifts and the satisfactory examination by us in regard to the Christian experience and call to the ministry, and in views of Bible doctrine, hereby certify that Dr. Charles Prescott was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry under the authority and order of the Volusia County Baptist Church at Orange City, Florida, on the third day of January, 2016. And so I present this to you, Reverend Charles Prescott. Amen. And so, Charlene, you're married to a reverend. I think it'd be appropriate for you to give us a word. Your first words as an ordained preacher.
Amen. Well, thank you for your confidence, and thank you for being such a great church and a place to serve all these years. And thankful for a pastor like this who's faithful and well-known all across the country as a man of God. And so I count it a great privilege and a great honor to be here today, and just want to thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, amen. We thank you for that. I tell you what I want them to do. If we can put these chairs back now, I think, get them out of the way. I want Charles and Charlene to stand down here at the front. I want you to take time and come by and offer to them any word of congratulations that you would like to, any word of encouragement that you would like to. I hope you'll do that, and it may take a little while, but that's okay. It's rainy and cold outside, and it's beautifully comfortable in here. And so, did you enjoy this tonight? Isn't this a great experience? Isn't this a great experience? I want to mention a couple of things. Of course, I have to take care of business. The regular announcements for the week, tithing envelopes on the table back here. What else was I supposed to mention? You gave me a note about
Christmas cards in the back.
Yeah, if you haven't picked up your Christmas cards, we're going to throw them away if you don't pick them up. Okay? Okay. So Christmas cards back there. You say, well, I don't have any Christmas cards. Well, go look anyhow. I know it's embarrassing to go look and there not be any there, but it's okay. It's okay. Go by and look anyhow. Huh?
Search the Scriptures dinner immediately after service.
Yes. Search the Scriptures fellowship. Immediately after the service, if you've done the readings this month, in the month of December it was. And I hope you get started on January. I want to mention this to you also. If you would, please pray for Brother Robbie Robertson. Robbie was taken in this afternoon with what seems to be a stroke. And so be much in prayer for Robbie. Robbie has not been well for some time now, but we didn't thought it was something else other than that, but now this has taken place. And Sheila called me earlier, and she's supposed to let me know. And we'll get it out, Laura, as soon as we find out exactly where he is. But he's at Fish right now. We don't know what room or anything like that. Whenever I talked with her, he was an X-ray, and nobody could see him. But if you will, please, please pray for Sheila and pray for Robbie at this time. Well, let's stand together. Well, Charles and Charlene are pulling out immediately after the service tonight, so you can not take too long with them. They've got to drive all the way to Knoxville tonight, and he's got to be there ready to go in the morning, bright and early in the morning. And I know as we have college kids come home, sometimes we have college adults come home. But let's ask God to watch over them tonight also. Father, what a wonderful way in this church and in the life of this church to start this year with this type of commissioning and ordination. I thank you for that. And again, Lord, I know that you do not tire of our coming and asking this of you. So I ask again your blessing upon our brother in the ministry, and Father, on his dear wife and on the kids and the grandkids. I pray that you'll bless, and may his setting apart be something special to them. Now, Father, watch over them as they travel tonight. I pray that you'll be with Brother Robbie right now, Lord. He needs you in a very special way, and Sheila needs you, Lord. I pray you'll be with them and help them and others that have needs in our church. Thank you for this time together this evening and this wonderful occasion in the life of this church. And in the life of the Prescotts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Come by and greet these folks if you will.